everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Confessions of a Founder. I'm your host, Alicia M. Campbell, founder and CEO of Culture Shift HR. As always, I am super excited to be here. This is such a special time for me to not only just share, but like as I'm sharing these stories, I'm also reflecting on what's happening now and the things I wish I knew, you know, when I started, whether it was building this in 2018 or going full time, some of the things I would have learned. But here we are. In our last episode, we talked about, you know, money struggles and money wins and understanding key elements regarding your sales pipeline, cash flow, creating systems of support and structure as you grow and scale your business. And that's so important, as we said in our last episode, because money is what actually makes a business. You are transacting, you are trading a service for payment. And if you're not doing that, you're kind of doing a hobby. So as you're building your business, never lose sight of your why, but also remember that as long as you're continuing to grow and, you know, continuing to get value for your service via a monetary means, you are building a business. And so whether you charge $5 day one and day 30, you charge $100, which is awesome ROI, be mindful that the money you're making, be proud of it. Own it. That's many people can't do what you do when you sell a service or a product. And I know it's funny because this isn't even the topic of the episode, but it's funny because a lot of people have trouble charging for what they do, charging for their talents, charging for their expertise. And don't be afraid to do that. Charge that, especially if you have a business and you have people. I will never forget a dear friend of mine told me, we were having lunch and I was like, oh my gosh, I really want to go full-time in Culture Shift. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I need to get out of corporate. And she was like, well, how much are you charging for your workshops? And I was like, $500. She's like, how in the world are you going to even get to a space where you could even go full-time if you're charging $500 a workshop? She's like, that doesn't even give you the means to even go full time, even if you wanted to. And she's like, you have to change your prices. You have to charge prices that will allow you to sustain yourself and sustain support and a business should you want to go full time. If you're not doing that, you will never be able to even have the means to go full time. Was I in for a shocker? I was like, oh my gosh, I've been literally keeping myself in this corporate, you know, side hustle gig for the past few years because I was afraid to charge more, because I was afraid to charge really the worth of my expertise and my insights to my clients. And the moment she said that, I went back to the drawing board and I tripled my prices. I kid you not. And shortly thereafter, I went full time. I'm telling you, own your work, own your expertise, own your genius, because I guarantee you there is somebody else out there who already is. And I guarantee you that the product, the service, the whatever it is that you're selling is nowhere near as good as what you're doing. So just remember that. Keep that feather in your cap. but we are here. We could honestly, it's so funny. I always say sidebar because I'm like, we could have a whole thing on pricing, but we're not. That's not today. That's not today's topic. Today's topic is clients. You gotta love them. Because when we think about the other half of the equation of money, you don't get the money if you don't got a client. So we gotta get those clients, people. We gotta get those clients. That was the biggest struggle for me. And I've said this a couple times where I've had my first client when I started out at Culture Shift for like the first year and a half. Because it was I was like so elated to even have a client and to even get another client. The work that goes into that is a lot, especially when you're working alone, which I was at the time when I started the business. So when it comes to clients and being in the space of, okay, I want to get more clients, first and foremost, you always want to be mindful of what is your ideal customer profile or ICP. And, you know, these things can get so granular. And I mean, you can get literally nitty gritty with like who they are, their title, their salary, their industry, their business size, all of these things. But if you begin to ask these common questions of who is the person that would hear what I have to say and press the go button or say, yes, where do I sign? That is your ICP. So is that a director level? Is that a C-suite level? Is that a manager level? Is that someone that may not even be in the business but has access to those decision makers? Those are the questions you need to ask yourself. And if you're not sure, you now need to start to do some research. Talk to those in your network and asking them, hey, if I were to sell you this product, would you be able to tell me yes or no based on your business business structure. So what do I mean by that? A lot of times when we're selling, we talk to customers that really can't make the decision. They might love what we do. They might be our best friend. They might be like, oh my gosh, I needed you like yesterday, but they can't press the button and say, actually, yeah, send me over your contract. I'm going to sign. We're going to get going. They will probably be a middle person. And that middle person might pass your stuff on. They might pass it on with enthusiasm, with all of the great things. But if the other person isn't feeling the excitement, the energy, the why behind what you do, there is a 50-50 chance they may not continue to go forward with your services, even if the middle person loves them. So I say that to say, the faster, and it's funny, I'm kind of preaching to myself here, the faster you can get to the decision maker, the better, because the middle person can oftentimes get in the way of you getting to that decision person, and not necessarily intentionally, but just through their own organizational hierarchy and things of that nature and all that kind of stuff. So be mindful of who you're talking to. Number two is you want to be mindful of the person who is the decision maker. What is their influence? And what I mean by that is there could be someone that could say yes and love, again, your product, your service, they're hiring you, but their reach is only so far. Maybe it's only 10 people, you know, horizontally. You need the people who are also going to vouch for you vertically as well. The employees, the managers, maybe the junior directors, whatever title they may hold, because that's what's going to keep your service coming back again and again and again and again. So when you think about clients, I want you to not just think, you know, who is that one person and only think at that level. Who is that person and who may they influence so we could spread our roots and really be known within a whole organization? So when you think about your ICP, I know when I thought about mine, I was very like, I would say too generic. I was like, oh, they're a decision maker or they're C-suite or they're a manager. They're really anyone that can like sign on the dotted line. And I wish at the time I had asked myself better questions, because I think I spent a lot of time spinning my wheels on who I needed to talk to and who was really able to help me get my product or service in front of the right people. A lot of times you'll hear this in MLM companies or market level. So I forget what MLM stands for, but those marketing companies like an Arbonne or Mary Kay or things like that, usually they'll talk to people and then they'll get spun in this wheel of, you know, another person and another person and another person, not really getting to the decision maker. But what's really interesting, and the reason I bring up that structure, is because many times you might think you're talking to the person because they have the big fancy title, but they have no influence at all. So if you can get some insider insight, either talk to someone who works at that organization that you're trying to get into, talk to maybe someone in your network that knows someone at the company you're trying to get into, anything like that where you can get the inside deets, that is what you're going to want to do. So if you're unsure, you can find out quite easy on who your, you know, ICP would be. And then from there, you know, reaching out to them, targeting to them, and really beginning a conversation. I often get asked like, oh, what's your sales strategy? Not strategy, sorry. Well, you know, how do you sell? What's your sales pitch? And that type of language just, oh, it cringes me. And I say that because like I have a little bit of a background in sales and not high level sales. I'm talking like selling chocolate door to door. Like, let's be real. I'm not a good salesperson. But people also like, what's your sales pitch? What's your sales script? And I'm like, can't we just talk to people like human beings? Like, hey, what's the problem that you got going on? Cool. That problem really sucks. This is what I do. My service actually helps to solve your problem. You know, is that something you want to explore and partner on and like work on together to like make you look good and like get the help you need? Like, that's honestly my approach. Like, I don't have a sales script, and anyone that's in sales probably listening to me is like, well, maybe that's why you don't have enough sales. and maybe it is, but I've tried that approach. I've had scripts that I've memorized and I've done the cold calls and I've, you know, try to impersonate, or not impersonate, but like mimic the body language of the person in front of me. And it was just so unnatural. Figure out what sales, language and I would say, I guess, I don't want to say script, but sales narrative that works for you, and make it your own. Because at the end of the day, especially in 2024, people want real. They don't want no fake facade and like salesy, you know, used car salesman pitch. They just don't. They're just like, listen, tell me what you do, what you want, and like, let me move on with life. But if you could do that in an effective way where people like you in the process, it's a win. And I say that because people do business with people that they like, not with people that they don't, unless it's like absolutely necessary. For example, we all got to go to the dentist. But if you have a really nice dentist and they make going, you know, getting your teeth cleaned an easy experience, you're not going to be too upset if you got to go because you got to get your annual cleaning or whatever. It's the exact same thing with sales. People, even though they have their problems, they will want to work with you in that problem because you make that problem easier. You make that problem kind of like seem less painful. So I say that to say that just be a good person, strike up a genuine conversation, get to know this person. If you guys are getting coffee, like, I really wouldn't overthink it. Know your value, of course, know the service, know your why behind what you're doing. But if someone digs you, they're going to dig you. Like, that's just kind of bottom line. And they will choose you over anybody else because they like you. So don't ever underestimate the power of being liked. That's important. When it came, I'm like, I go on these tangents, I swear. When it comes to ICP, and for, yeah, that's what we're talking about. I'm like, how did we get to this point in the conversation? So for myself, I got to general. I needed to get more specific. But as I got more, as I realized more and more within culture shift and the services, I realized who was the decision maker and who was going to be my ally in the decision making process. So what does that mean? So many times, as we talked about before, you might have a middle person that's kind of like in your way to the ultimate decision maker. In my land, where I'm talking HR, diversity and inclusion, that could be like an HR manager. That could be an HR, you know, coordinator, associate, someone in the HRE space. Now, many times I'll speak with them and tell them my services, what we do, the why behind what we do, and all that great stuff. And they love it. They're like, oh my gosh, we need you, all the things, please work with us. This sounds amazing. I put together the proposal, literally word for word of what we had discussed. They'll send it to their, you know, supervisor, manager, director, whomever, the decision maker. And then we get a no back. Oh, sorry, we went in a different direction. When you just told me, I was exactly what you needed. So, and that happens all the time, you know, and there's tactics around that. Like, you can be like, oh, well, let's get in a room and review the proposal together with your manager, et cetera, which sometimes can work, but a lot of times it's, oh, we'll circle back. Regardless, the faster you can get to the decision maker, the better. And if you can't, getting that person to be an ally for you is so important, because if you add them to your mailing list, if you add them and continue to talk to them, they at one point will move up. And then now you got someone who's now the decision maker, or they're going to continue to rally before you behind the scenes. And then eventually, hopefully, you know, throw some work your way. I wish I knew that sooner rather than later. I was very like insecure and awkward when I would do sales calls, and it was just never a fun time. Today, I'm much more, I think, at ease. And I think too, again, because a lot of our business is referral based, it's like, oh, you know so-and-so. Yeah, I know so-and-so. That's amazing. So you're great. They told me you're great. Let's go. Now, mind you, it's never that easy. But I say that it's a much more easier conversation to have than talking to somebody who's, you know, a cold call or a cold lead. And it's funny because when you talk about clients can have a lot of different personalities. Some clients you're going to love and you're like, oh my gosh, where have you been all my life? Can you not like just throw every single piece of business to me because you're amazing? And there's going to be other clients where you're like, you know what? I'm really just doing this one because I love what I do. But also, like, when this contract or this project's over, we'll probably never work again. And that's okay. We don't have to love every single person we work with. We don't have to love every client. Sometimes it's just a job that needs to get done and you do it. And I say that to say that sometimes you don't see the persona of your, or the full persona of your client until the work is done or until the work is like in the thick of it. So sometimes I'll like be working with someone and I'll be like, yeah, so I probably won't be asking for a testimonial because I don't want to be associated with them. And that sometimes happens, or they may not want to write me one because they're like, yeah, maybe Alicia and I or culture shift just didn't jive. And that is totally okay. You can't win them all. So when I work with different clients that I find frustrating or difficult, is the operative word there. One thing I realize is no one wants to work with a consultant or a company that's difficult, right? They people want to have good relationships. People want to have good opportunities, and you know, when it comes to work, everyone wants to try to find the silver lining. So what I always try to do if I have a difficult client, I try to get them to see the silver lining of working together. So for example, it could be me taking work off their plate. It could be me helping them support in this in a conversation they need to have. It could be me giving them extra coaching. It could be me, you know, laying out a plan that they then will, you know, submit to the board and get a pat on the back. But how can I help them? Because I don't think everybody chooses to be difficult on purpose. I think people, you know, from all different walks of life have challenges, and sometimes they might just be in a sticky situation and don't know how to, you know, communicate that. So they take it out on others, and I'm not giving anyone who does that a lie. I'm just being honest that sometimes not everybody's going to be sunshine and rainbows, but what you can do is be human. By being human to them, they can then let their guard down and then be human back to you, hopefully in a nice way, but just to be like, listen, it's really tough right now. Maybe at the client you're working for, they're going through layoffs, and that person that you're talking to could be next on the chopping block, and they're just waiting for that conversation, and they're stressed and they're scared, and all that is coming into your conversation. So you have to be mindful that there's always a bigger picture going on. There's always something else happening. And there's always something that is potentially going to turn someone into a difficult client. But don't give up. Always give your best self. Always be present. Always give someone the benefit of the doubt. And always be, you know, as helpful and as present for them as you can be. Within means, of course. And what's challenging, I think, with clients is that it's, you know, you're going to love them. There's some that are going to be not as great, but always creating a good client experience. The A1 that has to happen from the moment that they sign the contract to getting onboarded to meeting you or members of your team, always provide great service. Because at the end of the day, say it didn't go well, maybe you didn't reach the outcome that you both wanted, they can't say, Alicia didn't show up for me. They can't say Alicia didn't give her all into that work. They can't say Alicia and her team were the most courteous, were always extending a helping hand, et cetera, et cetera. Because at the end of the day, that's what I do. I provide the highest possible customer service I can to my clients and to their teams so that at the end of the day, they feel as much support as possible, whether they are having a good experience or not. So that's just something that always have your signature. What is it that you want to be known for at the end of the day? When working with someone. Now, when it comes to clients, as we kind of talked about in our last episode, some of them unfortunately are late paying. Some of them don't pay and not buy. But I've never met a client who didn't want to pay on purpose. That I will say. Everyone who we've worked with or given services with, they do pay us, whether it's on time, late or not. It's not because they never wanted to. It's, you know, it could be a system thing. It could be a process thing, whatever. I think it's important to understand though that certain clients, to avoid those situations where you're like, oh my gosh, the invoice is late. What do I do? Is one is to follow up. Obviously, if it's not following up with them, following up with their accounts payable department or their finance department to find out, you know, the status of the payment. Because it's more than likely the payment's been processed. It's just taking either a really long time or they have to wait a certain date to process your invoice or your contract. So that's number one. I think number two, if you're getting delays in hearing back from your client on payment, see if there's anybody else you could talk to. Is there another person on their team that is on an email chain or an email thread? What, you know, is that an opportunity to get somebody else in to advocate for you? And maybe a lot of times too, internally, companies change a lot, as we know. So the person who was maybe your point of contact may have left, maybe got exited. And now your inbox or your email, sorry, is at the bottom of an inbox. Nobody's looking at it. So always have multiple points of contact so that people, if you have other people to reach out to, should things kind of get stuck in progress. And at the end of the day, if it comes to the decision or the action, I should say, where you aren't getting paid, and I hope to goodness that never happens to you, what do you do besides following up and following up and following up? At some point, you have to decide, is this worth your energy? And what do I mean by that? So one of the clients I spoke about in my last episode, they owed me an invoice. And the invoice was a nominal amount. But at the end of the day, you know, it's money outstanding. So I have to follow up. And this was a person that, you know, we had a really great rapport. A relationship was forming in a positive way. And I knew this was not intentional. It wasn't someone trying to do evil against us. And I just decided to text them. And I just said, hey, I haven't heard from you. I just wanted to check in. Is everything okay? I didn't ask about the money. I didn't ask about the invoice. I didn't ask about what was going on. I just said, how are you doing? Is everything okay? Period. Right. And then I wrote, I said, I hope everything's going well. And that, you know, you and the family are safe and doing and healthy. I just wanted to get on a quick call, or if you could reply to my last email about our work that we had done a few months ago. And if there was any opportunity for you to put any, monies toward our invoice. See how I said monies towards the invoice. I didn't even say pay the invoice in full, because I don't know their situation. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the bigger picture. So maybe me saying pay in full right now in big red letters is probably going to make them mad or irritated. But if I said, hey, can you put something towards this payment? Can you maybe pay half now, half later? That shows that I'm flexible, shows that I care about them and their business, and to understand that stuff happens. And so what had happened was they eventually did reply to my email a couple days later, explaining the whole situation and still wanting to work with me once everything got sorted out in their business. And that meant so much, because at the end of the day, we might sell a product, a service, whatever, but we're in the relationship business. I've worked with this person before and I never had an issue. There was no invoices issue. I could tell that this was out of character. I could tell that this wasn't how they do business. And I was like, something bigger is going on here. So as you build the relationship with your clients, you're going to notice those habits too. They stop replying to your emails. They stop getting back to you as fast. You know, maybe they go quiet a little bit once, the contract gets started. Don't be afraid to be a bit personal and be like, hey, is everything all right? Just checking in to see how you're doing. How are you hanging in there? A lot is happening. There's a lot of change. Do you want to chat? And like, kind of put aside the business for a minute and talk to the human being behind the title. Always, always, always my best suggestion. And there's going to be times where you lose money. That is just the cost of doing business. You will lose money. I've lost out on minimum of $15,000 to date, if not more. But I always say things always come back. And what I mean by that is if you lose an opportunity or someone doesn't pay you, usually around the corner, there's someone who's going to pay you that money and or more. And that's happened to me time and time and time again. So in the moment, you might be freaking out. And I know that feeling, because I do that all the time, or stressing out. Don't worry about it, especially if you don't have your business savings kind of on lock and you got things to pay for. Let your vendors know, I'm short this month, or payment's going to be delayed, or I can't get this to you till the end of next month. As long as you communicate, people will understand. That is the way of the world. And I'm not saying to take that for advantage. When you get money, pay your people on time, pay your vendors on time, etc. But if the time comes where you are depending on an invoice being paid to then kind of take care of business and that doesn't happen at the right time, let your people know. It is common courtesy. It is respect. And I would say that is the biggest pet peeve where, you know, I don't mind following up with clients or people to say, hey, what's up? Just checking in. But don't ghost. Like I would say, for anything, don't ghost people. Like, we're working together. We have a relationship. We have a rapport. I'm not some stranger on the street. Have a little bit of common decency. I'm a human being. I'm going to understand. Things happen. This world is crazy. Just saying, hey, got your emails. You know, things are a bit tight right now. I'll circle back with you in a couple weeks with payment or with a status update. Simple things like that keep your relationships intact. So I would say, if you're in the seat where you're a client and you haven't paid, you know, one of your consultants, or you haven't paid a vendor, don't ghost them. Just tell them what's going on. Not the whole story. Like, you don't have to like share your life story, but, you know, be honest and give them a status update. And when you get those funds, please, please pay them. They have a livelihood too. They have a business too. So, that is what happens. And I think when you know, to keep good client relationships, I started, I think, doing this a few years ago with, you know, holiday time. You know, oh, send the holiday cards, send the holiday gift basket. I think those things are nice. They are very expensive. So I'm very mindful of that, right? Like, especially if you're working with a team. It's different if it's one person. Like, okay, I can send you a gift basket, $30, $40. But when you're working with a team of five, it's, that can be quite expensive quite quickly. So I would say do it once a year, maybe do something online to, like, you know, give a thank you or let them know that you appreciate their time. But those things can get expensive. And if you have the budget, I mean, please go ahead. Who doesn't love a beautiful gift basket at the holidays? But if it's something that's going to burn your pocket, sending a nice card, sending Amazon gift card, even $10, a Starbucks gift card, those things help just make your relationship, continue to make your relationship sweet and nice with all the fuzzies and all the warm and cuddlies. So I recommend that if you can do it. And also just, again, checking in on them. Like, again, hey, outside of business, how are you doing? How is your family? Like, what is going on with your life? Because people, life changes. So I think if you want to continue to have those relationships beyond just them at that company, do those things. Because people move companies, they move jobs. So be mindful of that as well. And I would say for the clients that you absolutely, absolutely love, like, oh my gosh, I want to be your best friend, love, put in that extra, you know, elbow grease, put in that extra work. I've gone to visit clients just to, you know, hang out, grab dinner, grab a drink. I see their stuff on Instagram or LinkedIn. I congratulate them. I send them heart emojis, not heart emojis, but like the smiley one with, like, you know, congrats and thumbs up. Like, I do that stuff. I celebrate my clients. I lift them up. I showcase them because I think that's important. You know, people want to feel good about the people that they're working with, and they want to feel good around the people that they, you know, put into their lives. So don't see your clients as just dollar signs. Please, 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 please don't. See them as human beings. See them as people who also need time, attention, care, conversation, who also are going through their own challenges or their own, you know, struggles and need support as well. Do not see clients as dollar signs. They are so much more than that. They are their own little mini businesses in and of themselves. So don't do that. It could be hard, especially when you're like living, I wouldn't say dollar to dollar, but when you're running your business contract to contract, it's, well, this client's this much money and that client's that much money. They're people, you know, and yes, there's a monetary value to what you're doing and the work that you are putting in. But when you start to only just see the dollars and cents, you really miss out on the beautiful human nature of the work that you're doing and the why behind why you are doing it, which is so, so, so important. And people could tell. Like, let's be honest. I know when someone's after my wallet. I know it. I feel it. And it's icky and it's gross and it's just, like, I kind of don't want to talk to you. But if you actually care and put in the time and attention to care, they are going to see that and respect that and genuinely receive that. So I think that is super, super important. And I think when I you know, talk about my favorite client or talk about a great client experience, it was one where there was clear communication, clear expectations, clear respect of my work and their work and what they were doing. And four, we had the same goal. Now, I'm not just here to help you and you're here to get a service rendered. Like, that's at baseline, like level one, Maslow's hierarchy of needs type of stuff. I'm talking about, I genuinely want to see you succeed. You genuinely want to see me succeed to help you succeed. And those are the best client relationships. It's, hey, if I'm going through a really tough time, I have to lay off five of my staff. I know Alicia's there and she's going to make this experience as human as possible to be, you know, as understanding to then help my staff go through this, even this really, really tough experience. That's what a good client is. And that's what a good service provider is. A good business does is, listen, we gotta do some icky stuff that's gonna feel really crappy at the end of the day, but I'm here for you, you're here for me. Let's talk about what this is gonna look like and the pain that we're gonna feel, but let's go through it together. And those are the relationships when you have with your clients that no matter where they go, whether it's the same company, whether it's 10 other companies, you are going with them. You're going to be that consultant that they call on, you're going to be that business provider that they call on, and that they will always have room in the budget for. And that's what you want. You want long-term sustainable clients. Anyone can get a client today and have them lost tomorrow. You do a service, they're gone, and you never see them again. But those who can create a client ecosystem where you are built in their budget, where you are a part of their team, even though you don't work for them full time, that is something truly, truly special. And at the end of the day, you have to define what type of relationships you want with your clients. Do you just want the quickie? Hey, we're in, we're out, see you later. We work again together, great. We don't, you know, that there's no skin off my back. Or do you want to be that type of, you know, company where we want to be a part of your story? We want to be a part of your journey. You know, we're not here for just this event. We want to be here for all the events and help you as you grow and scale your career, as you grow and scale your business, all of those pieces. So really think about not just your ICP, but think about the client experience you want to have for the first day all the way to the last day and through the years, and make that really clear in your value proposition, because you have to live up to that and you have to be open to being called on that if the client, you know, really enjoyed their experience and wants to continue to work with you. I hope this provides some good insight on, you know, clients, the client journey, the client elements that can happen when we're running businesses and we have to work with other clients that either get what we do or don't get it, and, you know, maybe make our life a little bit more difficult than it had to be. But remember that at the end of the day, our clients and you, or my clients and me, we want the same thing. We want to work towards an end result. We're just at different ends of the equation. So if you can understand it like that and get them to see the value in that, that is worth more than its weight in gold. Because there's a lot of DEI consultants out there. There's a lot of fractional HR professionals out there. But there's a reason that they choose to work with me. And there's going to be a reason that they choose to work with you. So as long as you can understand that, as long as you can, you know, capture that and make that so relevant for your ICP, you are golden. With that amazing last sentence, we are going to wrap up this episode of Confessions of a Founder. Clients, you gotta love them. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for listening. Again, being a part of this journey, I hope you like, share, comment, all the things, so we can continue to create incredible stories and continue to bring you on for this incredible journey. Have an incredible rest of your day. Stay safe, be well, and we'll see y'all soon.